Lord. I know them, and they follow me.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has he been given? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to him, "A prophet is not without honor in his own, except in his own native place and among his own kindred and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. God at times can be very confusing. On the face of it, it's not clear what David does wrong. He takes a census, and most of the time that's just called responsible government. You can't possibly hope to protect the people unless you know how many of them there are. You can't conscript the right number of people unless you know how many working men you have ready for battle in the group, and you can't tax the people in a just way in order to pay those soldiers to protect them unless you know how many people there are. That's why governments take census. This is also why, at the very beginning, God told the people, "You really don't want a king." But God tells David not to take the census, and David does it anyway. And what's worse, counting implies ownership. You count your sheep because they're members of your flock. This flock is not David's, at least not his by right. It's his as vicar. He's God's stand-in. And so he shouldn't be counting them all on his own. And for this reason, God punishes him. And the punishment on David is intended, though we're the ones who actually die when this goes down, it's intended to shame him personally, because it's his fault. St. John Bosco, whom we celebrate today, had a similar dilemma. He started off as an ordinary parish priest, but he had a particular gift for and ultimately was granted a particular ministry to the very young, to kids. He ran orphanages and schools, and what today we would probably call like after-school programs. This is right at the start of the Industrial Revolution. Parents are now not working farms to which the kids can go back to at the end of the day and mom and dad are working, but rather are in factories and they're not coming home until late at night. So the kids are left unattended all day long. And so Don Bosco begins to set up programs for the kids whose parents are dead or absent for work. And he's too successful. He gets too many kids. The program gets out of control. He can't manage it, even with assistance and help. So he realizes the only way in order to sustain his project, the only way to keep this thing going, is going to be to found a religious order whose job is to take care of the very young who are left alone because they're orphans or their parents are absent. And this is where Don Bosco does something which David does not do. David doesn't ask God's permission to take the census, though he goes back and asks for forgiveness after the fact. It is well after the fact. Don Bosco goes to God, and he asks for assistance, and he gets it in the most unlikely of places. And this is, I think, a great lesson for each of us. God gives him St. Francis de Sales, which is very strange, because St. Francis de Sales has been dead a couple hundred years by this stage. God gives him another priest who did not radically different work from another time, another country, to use as a patron and an intercessor and a model for what his own work is supposed to be. So the order which St. Don Bosco founds is not to this day called the Bosconians, but the Salesians. See, saints make saints. Not only in life, we've talked about that, St. Francis and St. Clare, that sort of thing, but even in death. Because every saint in the whole history of the church was once upon a time an ordinary Christian, just like you and me. Which means they not only lived in and among saints, but they had devotion to particular saints, just like you and me. It wasn't like Don Bosco didn't already know who St. Francis de Sales was. It wasn't like St. Francis de Sales only entered his life at that peak moment when he's trying to found an order. It was a natural progression from what had already happened. And that's important for us. It's important for us because what it means is that those saints that are already part of our lives can help us with those difficult decisions and help make sure that we're not presuming on God's mercy or on God's will. This came to me this morning in the shower, where all the best ideas come. I am struggling right now with a very difficult decision, and it sounds stupid when I say it out loud, but I'm using it because it's practical, huh? So, in my personal life, I'm going to have to make two purchases in the next 6 months. I have to get a new car because the car that I'm driving, the order is going to want back. And so I have to get a new car, and I'm kind of holding things together with bubble gum and duct tape. So I'm trying to make a decision about that. I also am going to have to get a new computer, which is not as expensive as a car, but is important. Now, if I spend too much money on the computer, I won't have enough money for the down payment on the car, right? So you're doing that calculus in your head. And I've stewed over this really since Christmas, when I finally was able to sort of look at my finances for the year and see how much I was going to be able to spend. And it occurred to me in the shower, you dummy, you spend time every day in that little chapel, you say Mass, you're talking to God all the time, you've never asked him what he wants you to buy. And you've never asked any of your friends in heaven. I don't know who the patron saint of used car salesman is, but that's the move, huh? And I know I'm not the only one with that kind of a concern in his life right now. So whatever you've got that you're juggling, whatever calculus you're trying to figure out, wherever you're most likely to make a mistake in presuming on God's mercy or God's will, bring to your friends in heaven today and listen like Don Bosco.